I got a quick surprise here. I like this. This is good. Hey, Michael, just hang tight, man. We're going to blow past a break, but I got a little surprise. Kristen Beck. We were talking about Kristen earlier in the show. The subject came out about women in the military, about women in the combat arms, and I said, you know, I was talking to Kristen by text the other night. I said, hey, can we talk about this on air? She didn't have a problem with it. Now, for those that don't know, I'm going to jump to the chase here. Kristen is a warfighter. Kristen, we're talking about somebody with, you know, awards for valor. We're talking about SEAL team. We're talking about someone that has been there, done that, and then became a woman. So I think who could better answer the question than Kristen Beck? Kristen, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, thanks for being on the show, and thanks for everything that you're doing. I definitely want to get a plug for all that stuff. But this question right here, and I don't know if you're getting bombarded all the time with it, and I don't want to be cliche like everybody else, but if someone is going to answer the question about women in combat, I really don't think anybody's more qualified to answer that question than you. What do you think about women serving in combat units?
Well, I 100% agree. I mean, women are as capable as men in many areas. But, I mean, we are different, you know, and I know a lot of guys that can't do 2 pull-ups, and I know a lot of women that can do 20. So, I mean, it always comes down to strength, and that's what everybody starts going back to.
Mm-hmm.
But there's thousands of jobs within the military and even within combat arms that you don't need to do 20 pull-ups. You know, so, and that's what we always go back to. Everybody always keeps going, well, what about upper body strength? What about this? What about that? I said, well, and it doesn't come down to the fact about strength. Per se, you know, physical strength, a lot of times it comes down to, you know, mental fortitude. It comes down to that other bravery, just like the Medal of Honor recipient you were speaking about a few minutes ago. I mean, the guy is brave and courageous, but, you know, 2 weeks prior to that, when you saw the guy, you would never see that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's like, it's something that's inside of people that you're just like, hey, we all have the capabilities to do a lot of things, but unless that situation comes upon us, or unless we're put in that situation, you never know.
Yeah, true. I mean, so, where destiny meets a situation, that's when you know, that's when you find out, and you really don't know until you do know. And we were talking before, as long as the physical standards don't change, and the person, whether it be, you know, male or female, meets the standard, well, then nobody really has anything to bitch about other than the fact that everyone has to be disciplined and professional, and what's wrong with that anyway?
That's a fact. And just like in the SEAL teams, and I was a Navy SEAL for 20 years, getting into the SEALs, there's an entrance test. And that entrance test has been the same, you know, and we actually lowered those standards for a little while, and we kept them at that point, because that's just an entry test. And so that entry test cannot change. And it's like a swim, 500-yard swim in like 12 minutes, and it's like 50 push-ups, 50 sit-ups, and I think it's 10 or 15 pull-ups, I can't remember. But it's not that hard of a test. And once you pass that test, then you're accepted to go to the actual training. And the actual training, you know, it's a ball buster. You know, it's a tough training. And anyone that can pass that initial test to get to the training, and then you pass through all the training, no matter, you know, what, male, female, you know, black, white, purple, whatever, it doesn't matter. If you can pass all of these, you know, all these tests and all this stuff, then rock on, man. You're a Navy SEAL. And then we go to the team, and then you do more training, and then you start building the camaraderie, then you're in a unit, and then you go to combat. And I think that all the SEAL team, you know, platoons that I've done, and it was a bunch of them, once you're at that platoon level and once you're working, we just gel up, because it's 16 dudes that have to work closely together, and I think we look past pretty much every attribute of person, you know. We just work together, and I don't think it'll matter at that point. You passed. You're here.
No, I get it. Okay, so what about those that say, okay, what about the close proximity? I mean, everybody's, you know, running around each other with sweaty balls and everything, and then you throw a female into the mix, and everybody's close. I mean, you're watching each other, you know, in an assembly area, and, you know, you got, you know, you're in the field. Well, the field environment gets pretty nasty. What do you say to the guys that say that can't happen?
Well, let me dial it back. Let's just say going to West Point. And I think, and Virginia Military Institute, I went to VMI, Virginia Military Institute, and women were accepted at the VMI in the 90s. And for traditions of over 100 years, we've always been brother rats. And the women came in there, they added a few bathrooms and they did some of this stuff. But I'll tell you what, those women, they put their PT gear on and they start doing it. they get their, you know, uniforms on, their camis, and they're always called brotherettes. Even the women are still called brotherettes. Because once you're in that small unit, and once you're in a position, a situation where we're, we have to work, you put aside a lot of stuff.
And you make it work. You make it work.
Do the work.
Mission first. You make it work.
And I always talk about it. I said, you know what? In a SEAL team platoon, or you're in a Ranger platoon, you're special forces and all that, we don't have Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We have professionals.
True.
And I think that once a female passes through BUDS, the SEAL team training, or their Q course for special forces, or they get through Ranger school, I think at that point they've already proven themselves, and guys are going to look at them and go, rock on, man, you made it through the course. Okay, let's see what you're made of now. Then we get into it, and then once they prove themselves and they're part of the unit, you're going to be looked at as just like we talk about a VMI. Just, you're just a brother rat. You're a brother. You're part of the organization. You're part of the unit. And then you just start working. We're professionals.
Yep, I like it. I like it. I like it. Well, there it is.
I don't want to work with Beavis and Butthead. Man, you guys can go home.
Yeah.
They're not part of our unit anyway.
No, they're not.
All you can think about is sweaty balls and what am I going to do in the bathroom? Oh, my God, there's a girl over there taking a shower three stalls away from me. And you start getting all wacky about it. I don't want those guys on my team.
Straight up, right there. Right there.
So,
okay.
I think that if they pass the test, let's give them a chance, you know?
How can you say no? I mean, you make the standard. And really, I mean, the military, for those that don't know out there in America, equal work for equal pay, that exists in the military. In the civilian world, a female with the same job traditionally or genuinely or usually makes about 20% less. But in the military, if you're an O3, you make O3 pay. Doesn't matter, male, female. If you're an E1, you make E1 pay. Doesn't matter, male or female. The military was desegregated before America was desegregated. So, you know, America leads these things, and it looks like here we go again. Maybe America is going to lead the charge, or the warfighter is going to lead the charge again on teaching people how to be more disciplined and professional and putting stupid stuff behind them.
And the thing is America, and I was in the military, and you were in the military, and all these other guys, the veterans are listening to the show right now. What did you fight for? What was your total thing? We're defending America. We're defending the Constitution. The Constitution is a paper. It's about equality. It's about freedom. It's about patriotism towards a common good for all of us. Now, how can you deny the fact that if a woman is qualified, and what do you fight for? The Constitution, equality, freedom, and all that stuff. If a female is qualified, then rock on. That's what you fought for.
Yeah, I mean, really.
That's our job.
When you look at the big picture, you really can't look at it any other way than that. That's just the bottom line.
Rock on, brother.
All right, hey, I'm going to get out of here, but let's get a plug for your organization. What are you doing these days? What are we going to see in 2015?
2015, I'm part of an organization called the 296 Project. A lot of us have PTSD, and most of us don't want to admit it. I'll tell you what, going in to talk to a psychologist and laying on a couch and telling them stuff, most of those guys are freaking jackasses, and I don't like them. But if I go into this organization like 296, it's called Expressive Therapy.
Mm-hmm.
I can go in there, and I can jump on a welder, and I can start working on my motorcycle, or I can get a bunch of paints. I can paint some pictures, or I can get clay, and I can throw a pot. There's like a myriad of things, or whatever you want to do, you can go in there and sit on the couch and drink a cup of coffee. So there's no pressure, there's no couch to lay on, there's no psychologist walking around trying to pick your brain. There's just a bunch of people in there working together and building camaraderie, and then sometimes stuff starts coming out, and you start talking about stuff, and there are qualified therapists there if you feel like talking. But you can go there for a year and just sit down on the couch and drink a cup of coffee. It doesn't matter. What it is, it's an open environment. Expressive therapy, do whatever you want, just hang out, you know, meet some other folks, and sometimes stuff happens. Sometimes you figure out that you're a little bit depressed or something else is going on, and maybe you just want to talk to somebody. So it's a totally free-form expressive therapy group. It's called 296 Project.
296 Project. Go ahead. What's the URL?
Their website is the296project.org.
The296project.org, and we're going to put that up on the Tipping Point Boone Cutler Facebook page if anybody missed it, so you can refer to it there. And what about you? I know you got your radio show. Feel free to give that a plug.
Yeah, I've got a radio show. It's called Everyday Valor, and it's similar to what you just did then right there. You had a Medal of Honor recipient. You were talking about that and talking to America and saying, hey, man, I want the good stories. I want to hear about valor. I want to hear about this nurse at the VA here in Washington, D.C., a homeless veteran came in, and his feet were totally screwed up. It's really cold here in D.C. And the guy was, like, he was rotten and, you know, really hurting himself. And their nurse was looking at his shoes, and he had holes in them and almost no bottoms to them. He was walking basically on freezing concrete, just screwing himself up. The nurse starts untying his shoes because it was about the same size, and then started putting his own shoes on this homeless guy's feet. It's a veteran, and it doesn't care. I don't care if you're homeless. I don't care what's going on. If you're a veteran, I'm going to take care of you.
That's right.
So this nurse took his shoes off and put them on his veteran's feet. And then the veteran was looking at him and saying, yeah, they fit. I'd love to have a pair like this. And then the nurse was like, no, these are yours. You wear them. And then the nurse went around the rest of that day around the hospital in bare feet because he gave his shoes away. That's freaking awesome. I mean, this is real heroes. This is like everyday valor. And my show is called Everyday Valor. And I talk about guys like that. I talk about people in American society that still get up on the bus and give their seat to an older gentleman or someone that needs it or, a female who's pregnant. I mean, it's like there's people that do things who are heroic in small ways.
I like it.
Talk about the small heroes. And that's what my show's about, Everyday Valor.
Love it, love it, love it. Everybody check that out. And if you want to know more about Kristen Beck, some great interviews out there. Go check it out. Just Google it right there, Kristen Beck, and some good information. Thanks for coming on the show, Kristen.
Thanks, man. You're awesome.
All the way. Out of here.